This evening, I'd like to reflect with you for a little while on the mystery of the Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And of course, what is intimately connected with that is the sharing in the priesthood of Jesus Christ that you have through baptism, that I have through baptism, and the further sharing in the priesthood of Jesus Christ that I have through the sacrament of holy orders. I think it's good to reflect on the Eucharist a bit before speaking about our sharing in the priesthood of Jesus Christ, so we can fully appreciate and understand what dignity and what a marvelous thing it is. The real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament has been challenged and questioned over the past 2,000 years. In particular, it was challenged during the time of the Protestant Reformation. And the Church had to clearly state and affirm, which she did in the Council of Trent, what we mean by the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And it's interesting that in the definitive statements, the statements that were defined as matter of faith, the Church used three adverbs to try to clarify and explain to us how we understand the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And she used the adverbs truly, really, substantially, that Christ is present in the Eucharist. And each one is important. Truly. In other words, the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist is not a sign of his presence somewhere else. It's not a sign of a memorial of what he did. It is truly he is present. And when the Church says really, it's not some type of a mythical present. It is really present. And it speaks about ontologically and objectively. When the word they use ontologically means that the very being is Christ, that it's an absolutely real presence. And objectively means that his presence doesn't depend upon your faith. I mean, Christ is not present because we believe. We need faith in order for the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist to be of benefit for us, to us. But his presence doesn't depend upon our faith. It's just like the existence of God. If I say, I don't believe in God, that may be, but God is. God's existence doesn't depend upon us believing. God is. Our problem is to come to the awareness. And so it is with the Eucharist, it doesn't depend that you have to have people gathered in faith to have the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Now that presence is objective, it's real. Whether we believe it or not. And so it's really, he's truly present, truly not a sign of some presence of Jesus outside somewhere in the heavens. No, he's truly here. And he's here objectively, ontologically, really. Doesn't depend upon our faith. God is present in the Eucharist. And then he used the word substantially. Really comes from two Latin words, sto stare stati status means to stand, and sub means under. What stands under the reality? We call it the substance. And so we say that what was present here is the substance here is really, truly, it is the presence of Jesus Christ. But the presence is unique in that most times when a thing changes in its substance, according to Aristotle and the philosophers, the change takes place by the accidents, what you see with your senses, they change too, which indicate to us that the substance has changed. You eat something, it loses its appearance, it becomes like part of you. You eat, the cow eats grass, it becomes part of the cow. We eat the cow, it becomes part of us, but it loses its identity. And in this unique change, the church says, well, there is a substantial change, but you don't know by way of the senses. You know a way of the mind, trusting and believing what God said. It's because God said so. But the change is in the substance, not in the accidents. So the church uses the word that the substance goes across, transubstantiation. Transubstantiation is the word that is used. It's unique. It's a sui generis. There's no other change in all the world that is like this. And we can only know it, and we know it on the basis of He who is truth, Jesus Christ. He tells us that this is so. And so we believe in the real presence based on the Word of God. That He who is truth and will not lie and knows all things, all power, He tells us. And as a result of that, Christ is present in the Eucharist. And the terminology the church has found through the centuries best communicates this truth is transubstantiation. And so we find Christ is present in the Eucharist. It is the Lord God of the universe. And it's not something of a rite that we go through to signifying something about God present elsewhere. It's real, and it's real and objective, doesn't depend upon our faith. And the presence takes place even though we do not see the external change. As a matter of fact, the accidents are maintained. They maintain the accidents of bread and wine, have the same effect. But we know by the Word of God, by the words of Jesus Christ, that it is profoundly changed. So this evening we thank God for the gift of the Eucharist. But the Eucharist is to be understood further in the context of salvation history. Namely, it's the Christian Passover. What do we mean, the Christian Passover? Well, it's the Passover, the Jewish people, where they took the lamb, and the lamb's blood was used to put on the lentils, the doorpost of the places where the angel of death passed over, and that lest they forget that God spared them by the blood of the lamb. They offer once a year a meal called the meal where the reminding them of the angel passing over and sparing them. And this evening, we know that it was not the blood of a lamb, but the blood of Christ that saved us, not from Pharaoh and bondage in Egypt, but something much more profound, from eternal death, from our sins, from bondage, from the slavery of sin, the devil. And so it is with great gratitude that we have confidence in the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Jesus, by which our sins are forgiven, because it is the blood of an infinite God. The person Jesus is not a human person. The person Jesus possessed our human nature, so He could shed His precious blood, that He could be the new Lamb of God. But Jesus is a divine person, and His blood has infinite value and worth in the eyes of God. And so our confidence for the forgiveness of sins and the love of God is manifested in the blood of Christ. And that we might be able to participate in this reality. It is interesting that when you read about the letter to the Hebrews in the scriptures, It speaks about the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and the Lamb of God, and the new sacrifice. And then it speaks about the Eucharist. Because the Eucharist would not be anything if it was not preceded by Jesus, the Son of God, taking flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, shedding his precious blood, rising from the dead. And what the Eucharist makes present sacramentally is this life-giving death and resurrection of Jesus. That's what gives it meaning. That's what gives it understanding. And so the unique presence of the Eucharist is unique in that Christ is present in a new way that we don't experience. His presence is Eucharistic presence, whereby it's not, we take Jesus in some way, compress him and put him in the Eucharist, in the host. No, it's a unique presence that we do not understand. It's a unique sacramental presence that you cannot hurt Jesus' body because he's present in a new Eucharistic fashion, a new way. And in every particle of the host, if it breaks, in every part he's present. St. Thomas Aquinas, in trying to explain how the presence of Jesus is in every particle, in every part. He says, for example, if you were to take a mirror and let it fall, you look at the mirror and you see your face in it. But if it falls into 1,000 pieces, you look down and your face is in every piece. It's like the soul in the body. It's in every part. And so the presence of Christ in the Eucharist is not the same presence as the blood and the body as we experience it. It's a Eucharistic presence, but it's real. And it's present in every single part. When you receive Christ under the species of bread or the species of wine or part of the particle of bread, Christ is present totally, wholly, and completely. And so, and he's present because he's making known to us and bringing to us the effects of the new Passover, the new covenant, the new communion of God with his people. And suddenly the people, the Jewish people, provide for the world the Messiah, the one who is to come. But he is to come for all mankind. And all of us are to participate in this Passover meal. But to participate in this Passover meal, you and I had to share first in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And that's what happened when you were baptized. When you were baptized, and I was baptized, our souls received an indelible mark and character that made us like unto Christ the priest. And because of that, we can offer our lives now with the new worship of God with and through and in Jesus. Today, I recall in a very special way that God chose from among men someone to act on behalf of men in the name of God and to bring God to men. It's called the priesthood of Jesus Christ, holy orders. And so when I was ordained a priest 51 years ago, my soul received a further character, a further mark that so identified me with Christ as priest that not only like in baptism, I share in the priesthood of the laity with you, and I can offer my life with God with this Eucharist in a few moments. But as a result of the sacrament of holy orders, I am made like unto Christ that I act in his name, in his person. It's like a pen in the hand of God. It is a very humbling thing. But there's no other person on the face of the earth than a priest who God uses to change the bread and wine into his body and blood. That God uses to forgive the sins of the world, which are only the infinite blood of Jesus Christ could forgive an offense that is infinite because it's against an infinite God. And so what is absolutely unique from a priest, whether you be a priest or a bishop or pope, it doesn't make any difference. We all have that same unbelievable power that no one on the face of, that's why people treat the priest with dignity and respect no matter what they do, how they forget. They do not forget. They know it's a presence of eternity and time. It's a special presence of God making present this incredible gift of the Eucharist and the forgiveness of sins. And so a priest is a very, very important person. Even if he forgets it, the people in faith don't. And they call him back to, Father, the dignity you have received. Do you understand? God has chosen you. You must not forget that. And so it is that this evening, I again activate my priesthood that I received with you in baptism, that I can offer my life in union with Jesus, because this life-giving sacrifice that Jesus gives is sacramentally, eucharistically made present at this supper, that you and I can offer and unite our lives with Jesus to give a new praise, a new worship to God through, with, and in Christ to our Heavenly Father in the Holy Spirit. But I also activate tonight again, once again, the priesthood of that I received through holy orders, that I can act in the person of Christ for you, for the sake of the world, for the church, to make Christ present in this Eucharist so that you and I can receive his body and blood and enter this new communion with God, this new covenant, this eternal covenant, which is absolutely absolutized in the blood of Christ. And that we who share in the blood of Christ, in the body of Christ, we who share in this Eucharistic gift of God, we will be united already with God and share, as our head does, we'll share in all the victories of Christ, our head. We are the body, we are the church. And it's communicated to us, and it keeps us alive and going until we can share God and be with God face to face. And so it is with great joy and gratitude we offer this Mass. And the washing of the feet, the gospel, of course, is the manifestation that God gave his life to us, even to the point of shedding his precious blood. If I gave my life totally to you, you must serve one another. You must show the world the love that I give to you. My final commandment is love your enemies. It's easy to love your friends. I give you a new commandment, a new power. Where will you get the strength to love your enemies? If you take the Eucharist. Because I'm laying down my life for the world when it was estranged from God. I'm laying down my life for the man who's going to put the sword into my side. I'm laying down my life for the people going to scream for my death. But that's what changes the world. It's such a love that is of God. And we only can have that power to love in that manner. It's not human, it's divine. And it comes from people who receive the Eucharist, Jesus Christ. That's the source of our power. And so when we finish the Mass, we must bring and live the Mass if it is to be meaningful. The church needs to meet real Christians. They really need to meet Jesus Christ. And so we continue now to offer this Mass with gratitude and with humility, with reverence and love for how much God loved them. He loved them to the very end, to the end where he gave his life totally for you and for me, and he's still with us. And he'll be with us until he comes again in the gift of the Eucharist and through the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Amen.